25 years we tried. 25 years. My wife Sarah and I, well, she was called Sarai back then, before God gave us new names. We tried to have a child for 25 years. Then God visited me one day and he promised me I would be the father of nations. Abram, said the voice, your offspring will outnumber the stars in the sky, the grains of sand on the beach. We were so happy. At last, we'd have a family of our own. At last, people would stop whispering that we must have done something really bad for God to punish us without having children. We were so happy. But after 10 more years of trying and waiting and not succeeding, Sarah had an idea. Take my servant Hagar, she said, and we'll have a child through her. Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time, doesn't it always? After all, it seemed like God had forgotten us. 10 years since the promise. So I had a son, Ishmael, but things didn't work out so well. We had to send Hagar and Ishmael away when our son Isaac was born. Isaac, our son. 15 years after Ishmael was born, along came Isaac. We laughed when three visitors told us that we were going to have a son of our own. But then we laughed with joy when 9 months later he arrived. Isaac, even his name means he laughs. We were so happy. It all seems so wonderful. We've cared for him and we've loved him so much. And now this. A few days ago, I heard the voice call to me. Abraham. Here I am, I replied. I love to hear God's voice. I'm not always so great at listening, and I don't always get things right. I guess I've learned the hard way that faith means obedience. Keeping going, even when it feels like God has forgotten about you. The voice said, take your son, the son you love, and go to Mount Moriah. A boy's trip out, I thought. A bit of hiking, camping, hunting. I was so busy making plans, I almost didn't hear what God said next. You see, the voice carried on. Take your son, your only son, whom you love, and sacrifice him on the mountain as a burnt offering. There was no laughing this time. How could this be? God had promised that Sarah and I would be parents of nations, that our descendants would outnumber the stars in the sky. How could that be if I sacrifice our only son? I didn't understand. I was so angry with God. How could he ask such a thing? What could he know about having a son and losing him? I was angry with God. And Sarah was angry with me. Through the tears, I couldn't understand. But I knew I must obey. I've learned the hard way that faith means obedience. Keeping going. I had to leave early, very early, in case Sarah tried to stop us. For the first part of the trip, we travelled with two of my servants. For 3 days we walked, 3 days, knowing what I was going to have to do. Begging the voice to explain. But there was nothing. Silence. Silence, as had been all those years we waited for our son Isaac. When we got near the top of the mountain, I told my servants to wait for us. Stay here, I said, while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Why did I say that? Why did I say we will come back? Was it a slip of the tongue? Was it wishful thinking? Was it a glimmer of hope, my faith? Can God do the unimaginable and bring life even to a dead son? Standing here now, holding this knife, I don't know. As we walked, another voice broke the silence. Father, the fire and wood are here. But where is the lamb? I wanted to run. Far away. How could I answer that? What could I possibly say? We'd barely spoken for 3 days. I didn't know what to say. The voice was silent, and so was I. But then these words fell out of my mouth. God will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Will he, though? We're here together, and yet I feel so alone. I feel numb with grief, pain, anger, doubt, and yet I know what I must do. God asked me to trust him, to obey him. Maybe one day I'll understand. Maybe I won't. But I must trust him. But how can I? Here I am, and here is Isaac, my son, the son of my laughter. The fire is ready. The knife is ready. I can't delay anymore. It is time. This boy I held as a baby and laughed. This boy I told stories of the wonderful things God was going to do for us. This boy, my son, and now this. Why is it so hard? Where is God? I want to hold us in that moment as Abraham holds the knife. God has asked him to do the unthinkable. Everything he'd promised Abraham, everything he'd given him, he was now going to take away. The beginning of the passage, God tested Abraham. Sounds cruel. The word doesn't mean it's not like an exam testing. It's the kind of proving of something. You could translate, God proved Abraham's faith. Why is it so hard? I'm afraid that's a question I can't answer. It's like our previous Prime Minister used to say, Brexit means Brexit. Life is hard because it's hard. Obeying God is hard because it's hard. And it's hard for all of us. You see, what Abraham experienced on that mountain, Jesus taught. Listen to these words. Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Jesus said that. God asked Abraham to give up everything, which is exactly what Jesus asks of his followers. Nothing must come before God. Nothing. And that includes family. It's a hard teaching, but this is what faith really looks like. It's messy and real. It's putting God first, as Abraham did. He was willing to sacrifice his son, his only son, his beloved son. Ring any bells? And yet, Abraham was no hero. He got so much wrong. If you know the story of Abraham, you'll know that he misled people twice about who Sarah was because he was afraid and didn't trust God to keep him safe. He tried to force God's hand by sleeping with a servant to bring about the promise that God had made. And that really did not go well. When God told him he and Sarah would have a son, he laughed. Abraham was no hero. You see, he's an example of faith, not because his faith was perfect, but because he kept going, even though his faith wasn't perfect. Even though he wasn't sure, even though he made mistakes, he kept going. He stayed obedient, even when he didn't understand. You might describe Abraham's faith using two words, hopeful obedience. Hopeful obedience. Even when it seemed absurd, perhaps God could bring life to a dead son. Even when it seemed absurd, Abraham kept going. John Ortberg says, he just hangs on. Might be an experience you recognize. hanging on by your last little fingernail, waiting for the drop. Why is it so hard? The answer the Bible gives isn't to explain, but to tell us how to handle it with hopeful obedience. Like Abraham, putting God first, even when we don't understand, especially when we don't understand. God first, before everything. But what about that other question? Where is God? 3 days earlier, God called Abraham, and Abraham replied, "Here I am." Now, as the knife begins to fall, the voice comes again, "Abraham, Abraham." The repetition shows the urgency. And Abraham says again, "Here I am." Even in that moment, he was willing to listen to God. He doesn't understand, but he is here. "Here I am," he says. Those words are on Abraham's lips, but actually they answer the question. Where is God? Here. Here. God was with Abraham the whole time. Through those years, even though he didn't know it, even though he couldn't hear God, he couldn't feel God's presence sometimes, even though he tried to go his own way, even though he lied and cheated and doubted, even though he was afraid, God never left his side. God was there, ready to stop him at the moment of sacrifice, with a lamb caught in a thicket. Those words of Abraham were prophetic. God had provided a lamb, and not for the last time. Where was God? He was here. Even though Abraham couldn't see him or hear him, even though Abraham felt alone. It is possible to feel alone in a room full of 50 people. Even though Abraham felt alone, God was with him. God was there, holding him fast. Wherever you are, that is where God is. Here. The question is, do we realise? You see, suffering alone does not produce the character that God requires of us. We need what Abraham had, suffering with faith. Hopeful obedience. Why? Because over time it helps us see that God was and is there with us. Most people's experience of the Christian journey, if you ask people, most Christians, when they grew the most in their faith, almost always the answer is in a time of testing. Why? Because testing isn't an exam, it proves your faith. Difficulties prove and demonstrate our faith. They make it grow. Why? Probably because we've got nothing left. We need hopeful obedience. Because as we learn to see where God was with us in past suffering, so we can learn to see God is with us in present suffering. Because it will be difficult. We've been having a series called The Life You've Always Wanted, and this is the final chapter, and it's called A Life of Endurance. Because, friends, it is hard to keep going. But as our eyes of faith develop, so we learn to face new troubles, knowing that God is holding us fast. Why? Why does God hold us? The answer is quite simple. Because he knows our grip isn't strong enough. So he has to hold us. You ever held a baby? It has a bit of a grip, doesn't it? But you have to hold it, or it falls down onto the ground. Is that right? I don't have a baby, but I'm pretty sure that's how babies work. We're the baby. Sometimes I think we think we're the grown-ups and we know what's best. We're the baby. God is holding us. God is holding us. He knows our grip is not strong enough. He's holding us because he loves us. And he's holding us because he knows what it's like to lose his only son, the son he loves. Because he doesn't ask us to give up more than he already has. Let me say that again. God doesn't ask us to give up more than he already has. Sometimes people say it's not fair. Like Abraham, God gave up his only son. Except this time there was no reprieve. This time there was no lamb caught in a thicket because Jesus was the lamb who willingly gave up his life for us, for you. In him alone and no other is life. The life you've always wanted. In him alone is hope. In him alone is salvation. There is no other life stronger than death, only Jesus. There is no other name that saves, only Jesus. There is no other way to the Father, only Jesus. There is no other safe passage through this life, only Jesus. There is no other forgiveness, only Jesus. There is no other who can hold you fast, only Jesus. There is no other life, only Jesus. Jesus doesn't ask us for perfect faith. He doesn't ask us for perfect faith because his faith already is perfect. He asks us to come to him and receive that life. He asks us to come to him alone, and place our lives in his hands. Like a parent carries a baby. Like Abraham, we all struggle with doubts and mistakes and slip-ups, but don't let those doubts keep you away from Jesus. It's the classic thing that happens. We think these doubts are so big, and some of them are big, but nothing is too big to keep you away from Jesus. Don't stop coming to Jesus. Don't stop. Remember Abraham. He kept going in faithful obedience. So come to Jesus and to him alone. Forget other gods. Ignore those deceitful desires in your hearts and come to Jesus. Because only in him will you find life. Only in him will you find the life you've always wanted. Because it's his and he wants to share it with you. I promise. He wants to share it with you, and he wants to hold you fast, no matter what. So will you come to him and receive?